Welcome back to another episode of Finance with Fernando. I am your host, Fernando, the Mortgage Maverick DeCunha. And in today's episode, we have a special guest, Richard O'Donnell, retired tax assessor. And I'm going to be interviewing him with my colleague and good friend, Jeffrey Green from Compass. All right, so we have a special guest today, Richard O'Donnell, partner of O'Donnell and Cullen Property Tax Consultants. And I remember seeing Richard on television, I don't even know for how many years, but a long time. He is just as smart as he shows himself on TV. Richard, thank you for joining us today. Why don't you give us a little background of yourself, please?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation today. As you said, my name is Rich O'Donnell. I am a property tax consultant with O'Donnell and Cullen Property Tax Consultants. And our business model is based on helping people. So the business of assessments and taxes is always confusing for many, many people, whether it be taxpayers or real estate agents, title people, mortgage people like yourself. And therefore, what we do is you're going to get an answer from us at any question you have in regard to assessments and taxes 7 days a week free of charge. So after I retired, after 28 years of government service as a tax assessor, I began my career as a consultant, and that is what has evolved. We are just here to help and provide information. Clearly, we make our income when we represent clients successfully, and we do that 99% of the time. But the way people should look at us is we're simply here to answer any and all questions all the time.
That's awesome. I you know, it's great because I visited your website when we were setting up this meeting. And I mean, the amount of educational videos you have in your like frequently asked questions section of your website, whoever's watching this, you got to check it out.
Yeah.
Super helpful.
RetiredTaxAssessor.com, right? That's
RetiredAssessor.com.
RetiredAssessor.com. We'll check it out. Make sure you bookmark it. You want to say anything, Jeffrey?
Well, I was just saying, I think this video that we're doing right now, and Fernando and I are wearing our seasonal Easter colors, is a little bit extra timely, right, Rich? Because we're heading into that season where if you're going to do grievances, it's go time, right? If you're working on real estate taxes.
That's exactly right. For all municipalities in Westchester and Rockland County, with the exception of a couple in Westchester, everybody has a May 1 to the 4th Tuesday of May grievance window outside of Westchester, and a June 1 to the 3rd Tuesday of June grievance window inside Westchester.
Yeah. Good to know.
And
yeah.
It's also we're heading into the
spring
buying season where a lot of buyers are on the edge and having to make offers. And I know for me, a big part of this show today is helping buyers understand what they're getting into and what may and may not happen after they close when it comes to real estate.
Yeah.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Going up and potentially.
Exactly. Especially when you're buying a home and you're told the taxes are a specific amount, but that may be based off of a previous assessed value.
Yeah. We're going to get into it.
Yeah. We're going to get into it. And that's the value you'll get from Rich. So to hop on to topic number one, we just wanted to kind of have you speak on the structure of real estate taxes in New York. You know, how they're broken down, what you see in different municipalities. I know they're always
outside of the city.
North of
Manhattan. Yeah. Yeah, sure. New York City and Nassau County have a completely different system. So I'm only speaking of areas outside. Once again, New York City and Nassau County in Long Island are not included or portrayed in this presentation. They have a different structure. Yeah. But all the other municipalities in New York State are strictly based, as is most of the world, frankly, based on fair market value. In theory, if somebody owns a home worth $1 million, they should be paying twice as much as somebody that owns a home worth $500,000. It's as simple as that. But there are always inequities. There are always assessments that are too high. There's those that are too low. And clearly, there's a bunch that are right around the median, and accordingly, they would be considered fair. Within a reasonable range of the median is generally considered fair. So in New York, there's a grievance window, as I said, and everybody has the right to challenge their assessment annually with a couple of exceptions. And that occurs, once again, in May outside of Westchester County and June 1 to the third Tuesday of June in Westchester County, cities and towns, with the exception of Yonkers and White Plains that have different windows altogether.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I think for some of our viewers, Rich, there's also this confusion around, okay, so there's a school tax, there's a
town tax could eventually also be a city tax and then a village tax. I mean, I know it sounds pretty basic.
Maybe
but
county.
Obviously, every municipality and school district has their, well, every school district has their own budget that they vote on every year, right?
Yes, I'm not hearing you very well, but and Jeffrey, I think that's you. I'm not hearing. Nevertheless, it's all based on value, as I said. And what happens is, all taxing jurisdictions, as you mentioned, town, county, school, and special districts, prepare their budgets individually. Then that budget is approved by the municipal authorities, whether it be the town board, city council, the fire district. Any and all districts that are taxing jurisdictions will approve their budgets. That process is completely independent of the assessment process. The budget, whatever it may be, completely independent of the assessor, is simply apportioned by the values on the assessment roll. Consider the assessment roll a pie, and everybody's individual assessment is their slice of the pie. It's revenue neutral. In other words, when I was an assessor and I was obligated to increase an assessment, perhaps somebody made improvements and they paid $2,000 more a year because they've done a significant renovation. That doesn't mean the town, county, and school or special districts receive any revenue. They do not receive a dime in extra revenue. What it means is, all else being equal, if one person's assessment is increased and their taxes go up, that all else being equal, then everybody else in the town will receive a tiny reduction in their tax bill. Now, obviously, there's a lot of ingredients in that assessment roll, so that's unrealistic. But the important thing to know is the budgets are independent of the assessment roll.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's great info, because you immediately think that money is going to the town. You know, that extra, you know, $2,000 in your scenario, you know, that's going to the town in some way, shape, or form. But it makes sense, right?
I believe most people believe that's the case. When I was an assessor, I've been called a gouger more than once.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think a lot of people also have to understand in Westchester, to really get granular on the municipality, the school district, and the village, because these lines snake over each other, right? You could be in one municipality and be paying a Ardsley Schools versus, Scarsdale Schools, something like that, you know, I know people are definitely smart about knowing which house is in what school district, but it's also not just the school district that they're looking for. They should also be, well, which tax assessor do I have? Even though I'm in this school district, it might be a different municipality.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. When I was the assessor for the town of Mount Pleasant for one term back in the late 80s, there were 8 different school districts. 7 of them overlapped into another town. So you could literally have people who live on the same street in the same school district with completely different taxes because of the fact that they are in 2 different municipalities.
Right. And villages as well, right? So you could be in the village within a larger township within a certain school district, and usually the villages stay within one school district, but I'm sure there's a couple of exceptions out there.
There are split school districts, split villages as well. And by the way, village assessments, if the village's assessment is an assessment unit, that has a February grievance window, and that has to be done as well as a town, assuming the village is in an assessment unit.
Right.
Now, some villages have given up their assessment unit status to the town, which makes a lot of sense, as the town can simply hang the village tax on the assessment roll, just as a school hangs their tax bills on the assessment roll of the town.
Right.
So, for example, the town of Greenberg, their 5 villages no longer exist for assessment purposes. So it's one-stop shopping. However, the town of Eastchester, where I spent most of my career, has 2 separate villages that are independent of the town, one being the village of Bronxville, the other being the village of Tuckahoe.
Wow. I mean, talk about a landscape to navigate if you've never owned a house before.
It's
brutal.
It makes it hard for professionals in the industry to wrap your head around it because, you know, like someone like myself, I'm not visiting these homes, right? So I don't know exactly where those borders are. And when I try and prep a client to purchase a home, their payment obviously is really a big deal, and what their future payment is even more of a big deal.
Just
more
from
important.
On a personal level, you know.
From an advisory standpoint, you know, I don't want to set someone up to fail, right? And I think that's kind of all 3 of us. We're trying to make sure that people are on the right side of the coin moving forward. So,
and Rich, the buck stops with the assessor, right? So whatever. So you're Rich. Can you hear me? Okay.
I cannot.
Can't hear you at all. You could hear me though.
I got you, Fernando.
The movie phone voice always prevails. That's what it is.
What you're saying is absolutely true. And there's another component is mailing addresses. Think of Scarsdale. Scarsdale is a separate municipality, although their mailing addresses include parts of Greenburg, White Plains, New Rochelle, Eastchester, and I think parts of Ohio have a Scarsdale mailing address. Now, I'm kidding about Ohio, of course, but the point being is that you'd be shocked to see somebody moving into the Edgemont section of Greenburg with a Scarsdale mailing address and thinking they're in the village of Scarsdale. It is that confusing.
The PO system, yeah.
That's crazy.
And mm-hmm. So the most important thing, though, on your monthly taxes Rich, can you hear me now? Okay, is it
perfect?
Okay. So the most important thing is, okay, where is this house being, assessed? Is it in this village with this assessor? Is it in, like you said, is it in the town, larger township of Greenburg, there for this assessor, or is it in the, maybe you're in Croton, but you're in the town of Cortland. Cortland is your assessor, and knowing their policies around.
Yeah,
how they run their assessment rolls every year,
I think that goes into that goes into topic two, and I just don't want to get off piece here because we usually do, just so you know, because you start unraveling, you start opening up the onion, and it comes. So, like, you know, our second section of this is what buyers really need to understand about the house that they want to bid on and buy, and that's very much where the property is located, where it's reporting to, as far as the assessment. And a big part of this is new construction, which I'm sure you see a ton of, where, you know, buyers will come to you and say, I need to grieve my taxes. I bought a house. It was new construction. I was told it's $10,000 a year. Now it's $30,000. What do I do? And it's that grievance may not be possible, right? Because maybe the expectations
are
set.
Sure. You know? When we receive an email or a phone call, we will immediately check the actual assessment roll. And I think that's also one of your questions. What is the gospel for this information?
Exactly.
That is the assessment roll on the town or city or village website. Those are obligated to be there by law. And the tax roll is not obligated to be there by law, but you would also want to look at that or call or email the town hall. We have very, very good estimated overall tax rates. For us, when we get a call from a potential buyer looking to know what the taxes would be for new construction when it hasn't been assessed or fully assessed, what the assessment will be if they're in a municipality that is at full value and therefore eventually the assessment will raise if it's under assessed. These are all the kinds of questions, but the point is, and your question, I would think the answer is you need to look at the municipality, city, town, or village.
Okay.
And the village only if it's an assessing unit, right, and there are fewer and fewer of them. Counties are not in the assessment business.
Right. So for a brand new buyer, they want to basically get to the bottom of, right, what's the exact town, school, and if they have village tax. And like you said, the gospel, what is that assessed value for this house? And is this house going to transact for a lot more, especially if it's a full market town, right? If this house is going to now sell for 40% more than what it's being assessed for.
You take the tax rate and then you...
The question is for this buyer, okay, if I buy this house and the current taxes are this, Rich is, are based on this municipality, am I going to get reassessed next year? You know?
Yeah, those are extremely common questions and we get them every day, all day.
Yeah.
You use the 40% scenario, and it's funny you said that because I'm going to tell you a quick story. In the town of Greenburg, before they implemented their first revaluation, I believe it's 2014, 2015, people had no idea how to interpret this, what's going to happen. And accordingly, we would get phone calls, particularly at that time, because people were very nervous, knowing that full value municipalities, and you can find them on our website, retiredassessor.com, look at the residential assessment ratio section,
R-A-R.
And where you see 100%, those towns are at 100% of value, and there is the risk. Those towns are at risk if you're buying an underassessed property. So an agent called me, literally crying, what happened here, what happened here. But because of the assessment calendar in the town of Greenberg, the assessment can change one day per year. That's June 1. It will not affect taxes until the following town and county bill, following April. And then by the time the banks catch up with that and adjust their escrow, this young couple just scraping by didn't realize that they were going to get a 40% hit, 40% increase. The agent, there's nothing malicious here. She's very down to earth, very nice person, but she was not educated in the risk of buying a home where the town has the right to increase it upon sale if it's under assessed. That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know the outcome. Clearly, it was a very, very difficult situation because they had to pay back taxes as well as having an increase in their escrow account.
I mean, buyers need to know this. You know, like
100%.
If you're buying anywhere, especially these higher taxed, you know, school, higher tax budget, school budget environments,
Scarsdale,
you know,
Larchmont, like, you know, those areas. Yeah.
And if it's an older home that, that hasn't had a transfer sale
in the 70s and now they're selling it in 2021 or 2022 at a height of a market.
Yeah.
You know, and they paid $300,000 for the house and they're selling it for 1.3. It's a big difference, right?
Now, Rich, what you said, if you're buying in a town with full market assessment ability, which basically means that the market value that's listed is the same as the assessed value. They're one in the same, right?
In other words, yes. There's no need to translate it by virtue of the residential assessment ratio. It is what it is.
It's
this
100%.
Is the way it should be.
Yep.
And that's the way it should be. Difficult to get there, but full value municipalities are trying to keep it fair based on current value as opposed to the other municipalities that have antiquated assessment roles.
It's weird. The full market value model is actually more fair.
Strangely 100%.
Enough. Because everyone's on an even playing field. And now some homes are going to slip through the cracks.
Well, this just happened with a property that I'm looking at, and I mentioned it to you before we start recording in Columbia County. And I spoke to the assessor up there, and she was like, the house is currently assessed at 500 and change.
Right.
We're doing a revaluation in 2024 where they have a third-party company come in, which you may have seen during your your tax assessment days. And she said, you know, the taxes aren't going to double, because I was concerned, like, are the taxes going to double? You know, because he bought it back in the 70s for $40,000 and built this huge house, et cetera. And she was like, no, you know, it may be reassessed, maybe $100,000 more, you know, something like that. And the taxes may go up $2,000. But the problem is no one can really tell until it happens, right? That's kind of the issue until time tells, per se, you know, and the valuations take place.
The really funny thing about this, Rich, and we were talking about this, I guess let's call it in the green room before we hit record, was that just because something is full market value, a tax situation, it doesn't mean that the budget for the town is going up. So if everyone's taxes go up, they could essentially lower the budget percentages, right? Because
that's
only one pie. Like,
well, the budgets are prepared before the assessment roll, but the way to look at it is that if in fact the town is reassessed and the following year they want to adjust for the difference in what has occurred in the market, yeah, and if everybody's assessment went up by 3% and the budget didn't change, the taxes wouldn't change, even though their assessments went up.
Exactly.
The reason being is that
– really take that home too. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm circling back to, the point where it's a zero-sum process. And accordingly, you know, it's not extra revenue. It is simply trying to make it fair based on current market value, which is the best way for a municipality to treat their taxpayers as fairly as possible.
Yeah. I didn't know that. And you have to keep in mind, you know, property values are going up faster, I would imagine, right? Percentage-wise, we've seen a 20% increase in property values. I don't think, you know, have the town and – you know, have the town, village, and school budgets gone up 20%? No, they usually go up a couple points a year, maybe 2%. Our school budget went up, I think, 2.5% here in Garrison. So prices went up 20%. So is everyone's taxes going to go up 20%? Where's all that money going to go?
Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way. In other words, there's no extra revenue by virtue of the assessments being increased.
Yeah, that's right.
People won't be able to afford it.
Right.
So,
So that's what happens in the now. If you want to buy a house, go on Rich's website. Either talk to us, go on Rich's website. Yeah. I know you have a great contact page on your website. You can put in the address of the house, right? And
the RAR section is
RAR.
Too.
So, and you guys are, you know.
And we kind of touched base on part three of this, which is taxes in the future, you know? So, If you're an agent watching this or a professional in real estate and you think the property is under taxed, the conversation should be, you know, your taxes may go up X amount of dollars after you purchase this home, just from the information Rich already touched base on. We mentioned about the RAR, which, you know, that's on Rich's website. Use it. It's super important.
It's explained on the website too.
And very briefly, what that does is in municipalities that are not at full value, this is a tool by taking the total assessment and translating it to the assumed value for tax purposes.
Right.
That makes it very simple to make sense out of those odd numbers that you'll see on the assessment roll.
Right, right. No, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I think a lot of buyers, you know, they're preparing bids, bidding on houses, and they should know if it's going to happen. They should know the likelihood.
Well,
you know,
another part of this is, you know, if you're, and this is coming up a lot, and Rich, I'm sure you see this, if you're buying a home and you plan to do major renovations to the home and improvements, and you're going to need to pull permits, Rich is the type of guy you need to speak with as well, because I have more clients now, and you see this too, where they're like, Fernando, do you have anyone who does renovation construction? Now, I do renovation construction, so it's an easy conversation, but this is the thing. I have a specialist who does renovation construction on my team because he understands the ins and outs of how taxes will change due to that. I'm going to make sure he watches this video, so Barry, if you hear me, or Andrew, you're going to have to watch this, but Rich, maybe you could touch base on that. Especially with a lot of these antiquated homes or baby boomers selling, downsizing, and then, you know, fresh faces coming in and saying, I'm going to add an expansion.
You know, the famous thing, I'm going to save one wall of the house and basically build a new house.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, well, that'll take a while to get into that topic. But in general, clearly, if you're adding value, your assessment should increase to the extent that construction contributes to value.
Right.
Now, that's a very subjective thing.
So when people
call and say, I'm going to put $100,000 into my home, and that's market cost. That's not a third. That is not a brother or sister-in-law of the contractor. That is what any contractor would charge for those improvements, market cost. Then I'm going to say, of that $100,000, how much of it is mechanicals, new windows, a new roof, clearly adding value, but not to the same extent as interior renovations like kitchens, bathrooms, finishing the basement. So when I have the scenario, we will try to give an idea as to what I would do if I were the assessor, as I was an assessor. And I can't make any guarantees, but I try to explain as clearly as possible, or we try to explain as clearly as possible, what the likely scenario would be and when it will hit your tax bill. We also provide a tool. For every $25,000 in value you add, you'll pay X amount more in taxes. So people can fiddle with their own scenarios and come up with an idea.
That's on the website or somewhere. You can provide that. They reach out, they contact you, and they can.
Yeah, we prefer to have those conversations on a one-by-one scenario, because the tax rates vary so much, as I said earlier. They can vary on the same street very significantly. So we provide that information. And talking about new construction, I can't help but to add, if in fact you're aware of this process, you can actually buy an extra year's use of your new kitchen, your new deck, your new pool, without having to pay a dime in taxes. And what that is if you do your work around the assessment calendar and you make your improvements after taxable status date. And I'm going to give you an example. A Westchester municipality has a May 1 taxable status date. So if you purchase your home in March, you have your architect, you have your permits, you have everything lined up, and you do the work after May 1, the assessor can't touch it until the June 1 assessment roll of the following year, which will not affect taxes until April of the year after that.
Right.
So there is a trick of the trade, if you will, that if you do your construction at a particular time of year.
You could have saved someone 20, 25 grand right there, you know?
Yeah. It's most people don't know about that.
Multi-million-dollar home.
So the biggest takeaway from here, selfishly, and Rich, I got to give you a compliment. I mean, so I own a bunch of properties in different counties, and I'm like baffled that we haven't spoken before, because now I'm looking, I'm like going through all the numbers.
That's crazy.
And anytime you have to like improve it, I'm like, you know, you need someone like you in your life if you're involved in real estate, whether you're selling real estate, you're financing real estate, you're an investor, whatever. I mean, it's like basically having a CPA or an attorney in your corner. It's huge. It's massive.
Especially with all of these different environments. Since there's not one system for each.
It's true. It's a huge takeaway. I appreciate it.
So many different.
So you mentioned a little tip and like trick regarding the dates. What are some, one or two success stories you've had either recently or over your career that you could hang your hat on? You're like, this was really a difference maker.
In our business, we are able to, believe it or not, prevent deals that shouldn't happen because the buyers were unaware of what the tax ramifications will be.
That's a big success.
Yeah. And we call these the bad news phone calls because we don't like giving bad news, but agents are very, very happy to know and properly advise their buyers as to any potential increases moving forward. So that, I consider that to be a success, even though we're killing deals sometimes with just valid information. And the other time, we help save deals because there are thousands of properties in MLS where the taxes and the assessment simply aren't valid, or the assessment is significantly higher than it should be, and nobody knows about it.
Right.
We do a lot of seller work where sellers, depending upon the time of year, they want to hire us so they can brag about the reduction that's coming along, and then we'll take calls from potential buyers and their agents 7 days a week so as to give them details and assurance that that reduction will happen. That has made deals happen like crazy, the fact that the reduction will occur. We'll put it in writing. We'll make the make it very understandable. We'll put the mathematics in so that the buyers can look at this and have some confidence that when they're buying a home with taxes of $30,000, we know they're going to be reduced to about $25,000.
Right.
For example.
Wow. It's almost like I feel like every listing that I now take, I'm going to have them
write
something for me that says, this is our professional opinion about the current taxes, where they could go, and whichever direction.
I was about to say, you're basically going to have to adopt me as a child because I'm going to be contacting you all the time.
As long as I don't have to put you through school, I'm fine with that.
I'm done with that.
I think that maybe one of the last questions we had, Rich. Well, there's one thing I wanted to bring up because I've had clients ask me constantly, and Rich, if you can't speak on this, that's fine. They're like, I don't understand, Jeff. The taxes listed on the Compass website are different than what's listed on Zillow. Now, I'm pretty sure Zillow doesn't pull data from the MLS, that they're guessing. I don't know if you know about this or not, but I think the point is that, and I say this to any buyer out there listening, never take what's in the MLS or Zillow as 100% true. Yeah. You got to
just call the town.
You have to pull the tax card, look at the assessment roll every time. And if you're going to bid on a multi-million-dollar house or even an $800,000 house, never, because the MLS is just, it's just agent verified. It's not being fed from any tax environment.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, some of which I can't explain, I agree. Many of these databases aren't current. And that could be the problem. And you have to remember, the prior year's assessment is used for the following year's taxes. So there's a lot of twists and turns, and you're completely correct that you should not rely on them as gospel. We will get you in the ballpark for any property in our service area, and you can call the tax receiver and refine it to the exact dollar. But we can tell you gross annual taxes very, very accurately because we check and we obtain all the tax rates as they change. We put them into our system. So as we're speaking or emailing, we will know very, very close to the right answer for any property in the area. But it's true. Now, there is a database affiliated with the multiple listing service that sometimes has a glitch. I've seen an assessment go from, let's say, 15,000 to 45,000 and then go back to 15,000. And I check it. It just never happened. But it, especially people who are moving to the area saying, is this kind of sudden spike? Is this real? Does this happen? I said, no, it doesn't happen. It never did. So it's, again, very important to check and know where you stand.
Yeah.
And any scenario you could think of.
And don't worry, Rich. Every time I have a buyer make an offer, I'm not going to send. But if we're getting close to getting into contract, I'll probably reach out. And, hey, can you guys double confirm this for me?
Guys, now, you know what? You said something like we hear all the time. Oh, I don't want to bother you. No, we have four and a half people now in our office. We are happy to answer Any and all the questions.
So that leads to my last question. What is the best way for me or anyone else to contact you guys?
Especially this time of year.
Is it starting email or is it call the office? What's the best way to contact
you? If it's and on our website, we have something called Property Profile where somebody can complete information describing their own home. We'll acknowledge receiving that. We send it to a third-party appraiser for a preliminary review, a preliminary opinion of value that is doesn't cost anything, just so we know ahead of time whether you're a candidate for reduction. But we prefer to have a conversation first because it takes the appraiser some time to do it. Usually a couple of days, we'll get back to you. But if we have a conversation, we say, well, you're paying taxes on an assumed value of $900,000. We'll frequently hear, I could get at least $1 million. And then end of conversation. We don't want to take your time or give you false promises. Right. And frankly, I don't want people to keep our appraisers too busy for cases that really are no merit whatsoever.
Time is money at the end of the day. Yeah,
it's absolutely.
True. It's true. And regarding like those prospective purchasers that are buying, like for myself, looking at this property in Columbia County that I mentioned, can I just email you the address and you give me an idea of what you think?
Of course. That's what we do. Before we started to film this, we talked about the business model. We're here to help people. Our business just evolved. After I retired, I thought I would just simply be taking cases and helping people reduce their assessment. And as I mentioned, we do that. We're 100% successful when we take a case because we know there's something there. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that our business model, our secret sauce, is providing information and education to anybody who wishes to have it, free of charge.
Yeah, trusted source. That's why we do the podcast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and we have individuals like you educating the masses. So you have any other questions, Rich?
No.
I feel like we could be here all day. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack, but it's useful.
Just keep in mind, you know, everyone listening, that taxes are important, well, not only because of your monthly budget, but overassessed or high taxes can affect the value of your house. You know, if a house has a very high tax, it's going to be less attractive than something that's maybe, I don't want to say underassessed, but something's in an underassessed environment that you know is not getting regular reassessments, that could also be valuable.
Well, just to give you another perspective on that, as I said, we do a lot of work for sellers who look to us to get the taxes reduced to advertise that in the listing. Maybe not so necessary now in this you know, environment where people are just, you know, blindly throwing money around sometimes. Yeah. But it clearly, if you can save somebody $6,000 a year in taxes, that takes $500 a month they can add to their mortgage bucket.
Yeah, we talk about that. Yeah.
Taking it out of the tax bucket. So clearly it adds value. No doubt about it.
That could add $100,000 to your budget, right? When buying
a home. I look at it. I always look at it. I boil it down to monthly.
You know, Jeffrey knows, like, whenever I talk about specific properties, even for myself, I'm always like, what are the taxes? That's like the number one thing I ask about, because I could always pay down my mortgage, but you can't necessarily always reduce the taxes.
That's right. Very, very true. And
I always look at that. I tell my buyers to pay
attention. It's one of the
that.
Three things you can't change. You can't change where your taxes are coming and going from, and the school district, and really where the house sits on the lot. You know, you can't change it. There's a double yellow.
When I do pre-approvals, I always tell clients, like, everyone comes and says, I want to know the maximum I can afford. I was like, taxes are a big part of that, right? So why don't we look at the highest tax amount that you may be paying, depending on where you're buying, and then we back into a value at that point.
There's no doubt you guys are on track, that you clearly represent your clients very, very well, because there's so many people who are uninformed, and they can set their buyers up for real disappointment you know, real problems.
Or failure. Yeah, that's the last thing we need, is someone to foreclose, right? Especially in today's day.
Or just not be able to contribute to their retirement fund, because now all of a sudden they're
Now they're
paying an extra $10,000 in taxes they didn't know about.
Rich and financially poor.
All right.
Rich, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a wealth of knowledge, a complete treat. You're a stand-up person. Jeff, thank you as always for doing this with
this
me.
This is great.
We will definitely catch you guys on the next one. Check out, once again, Rich's website. Make sure you use his tools. Save them, bookmark them, share them. Rich, thank you again. We wish you good health and be well. Thanks for everything.
Jeffrey, Fernando, you guys are also straight shooters. I very much appreciate your time today, or inviting me today, I should say. Thank you guys so much.
God bless. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For joining us. All right. So you are good. So